Researchers from the University of Alaska Museum recently teamed up with the U.S. Army to reach a site on the North Slope where the remains of an ancient marine reptile have rested for millions of years. On day three of the expedition, Kevin May worked with his daughter Lizzie to prepare the specimen for its journey back to Fairbanks. The section they're focusing on is embedded in a piece of rock separate from the creature's rib cage. They hope it holds valuable bones. After gluing down the sensitive parts, they cover the rock slab with plaster-soaked burlap strips. Because, as May tells KUAC's Libby Casey, it's crucial to protect any bones that may lie hidden in the rock.
We're soaking these burlap bandages, burlap straps, in fiberglass-reinforced plaster, which is a stronger version of plaster of Paris. It's probably two or three times the strength of plaster Paris, and we're applying it to this rock specimen, this specimen that hopefully has bone in it. And the object of this is to give this some rigidity so that it will survive the transport back to Fairbanks. And it gives us, you know, support when we go to prepare it too. It holds it all together. But if you've ever seen any show on digging up dinosaurs, you've seen them packing out these big white monstrous blocks, and that's what this will look like. Oh, yeah.
The cocoons.
Yes.
Plaster cocoons. Right. So where did you guys take this rock specimen from?
Right up there. See where that dirt is sitting?
Yeah, it's at the top right part. But it's not that big. It's, what, like a foot by 3 feet or so?
Yeah, it's a meter at the longest. But it weighs quite a bit. It took the both of us to get it off of there. This rock's approximately 60 pounds per cubic foot, so pretty heavy.
How do you know where to make the cuts in the rock and how to pull what part away?
In this case, it was done for us through tectonic processes. You know, there's already fractures in the rock, but often we don't have that luxury, and we just have to either guess or look at the bone, if we can see bone, and pick a space where it's going to do the least damage, and we just cut through it with a rock saw. In this case, like I said, there was a joint already present, a fracture in the rock that we could just separate it at. And when we're doing this, we're trying to get this as tight as possible. But this burlap's pretty coarse, so tight as possible is sometimes not everything you desire.
So when you're eventually ready to work on this specimen, you'll take off the plaster casing?
Correct. Yeah, we take it off with a cast cutter, just like you'd see in a physician's office when they take off the cast on your arm or leg. Little by little, we take it off and dig away at the rock until we have the bone exposed. This is probably the most tedious part, especially when there's mosquitoes about, because we're really vulnerable, because we have to keep moving. We can't just stop and swat at them, because our hands are covered with plaster. And if we're doing a big job, you know, we could be at it for an hour nonstop. So you'd be pretty chewed up by the time you're done. Then we crisscross these bandages to give it more strength. So we've run crossways across the specimen the first time around, and now we're going long way with the second course of these.
It's just like making a giant pinata or something. I mean, it's a really crude analogy, but
paper mache. Yeah, you just lay the strips of soaked material on. It's fun sometimes. Sometimes it can be a real bear, but it's great when it's done and you can just move it off the bank without worrying about it coming apart on you. Yeah, this is one of those things you just have to jump right in and do. Can't be afraid of it. We have had a couple catastrophes over the years.
Like what can go wrong?
Well, we were pulling a skull on the Colville River that we had jacketed. And you try to jacket one side of the specimen and then you try to flip it over carefully and do the other side. Well, when we were lifting the skull off, of what we call, you know, a pedestal that we built we undercut the specimen all the way around the base of it so we can wrap the bandages underneath the edges. When we went to flip this over, the pedestal fell out and pulled part of the skull with it, so it wasn't too disastrous in the long run, but
were you able to recover the fragments?
Yeah, we had to pick pieces up and put them back in place and glue them back in place and then build the jacket over the broken part. Ever since then, we've been a heck of a lot more careful. We got a plaster?
Almost. It just needs, just a couple handfuls left.
Okay, we'll need that. I didn't get much on this corner here. Yeah, the first layer of the bandage is the most critical because that's where you get closest to the surface. Then after that, things kind of start smoothing in and there's less depressions and ridges to cover. We don't have any more plaster.
Yeah.
You want to grab, leave that in there and grab a couple of those things off to your...
Piece.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It's just sort of...
Stuff's gone. Okay, go rinse that. One more layer and we'll be done with this. Yeah, it looks like we're getting some weathering from the west, so we've got to get as much of this done tonight as possible. We could build a shelter over this. That'd be one way out of the problem.
Is that how you work around the rain?
If we have to. We try not to work in the rain. The catalyst for this plaster setting up is the water, and then if you get too much water, it doesn't set up. If you don't get enough, it doesn't set up. This is the best condition right now.
So, when you're putting the plaster on, how careful do you have to be on that first layer where you're actually making contact with the rock? And
well, the first thing we put down is a layer of wet paper towels, so we're not too worried about getting plaster on the specimen. What we're trying to do is get it as, following all the contours as closely as possible, so once the plaster cures, that the rocks can't shift within that. So we're pretty careful. I mean, this side we weren't too worried about. The first side we put the jacket on had a lot of undulations in it, so we had to spend a lot of time contouring. And on the back side, it's virtually flat. And all this is all just jacket. There's a ridge around the edge of this specimen, and that's all from us jacketing from the other side. So we're just putting plaster on plaster here, but it does strengthen it considerably. And often, once we're done this far, we'll stick a couple pieces of wood in to give it even more rigidity, and we probably will with the backside of this.
So we put on many more layers onto this one specimen?
No, we won't. Now, this doesn't weigh very much. We're saving our plaster for this, the large specimen, because...
Where the ribs are?
Correct, yeah. We've got a 3 meter or 10 foot by 1 meter, let's say 36 inch wide specimen to jacket, so it's going to take quite a bit of plaster. And we brought 500 pounds of plaster. You can imagine that, add that and the water add a lot of weight to the specimen. So
that's researcher Kevin May from the University of Alaska Museum talking with KUAC's Libby Casey. Tomorrow on Alaska Edition, May explains more about the excavation of the ichthyosaur from the North Slope site they visited last month.